Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, truth or dare?
Oh, God. Well, they say truth in the movie, so I guess I'll say truth because I don't want to do a dare ring.
How big are your boobs now?
Oh, God. Much bigger than any of the girls in this movie, that's for sure. You wouldn't have found me stuffing pudding in my bra, that's for sure.
The biggest trick of all time, the stuffing of the balloons.
Honestly, legendary. Mm-hmm. I think it's genius. We'll get into all of that. We're here talking Now and Then, the 1995 classic. And we couldn't do this alone because both of us have seen this movie. Both of us love this movie. So we needed to bring in fresh perspectives. We needed to bring in somebody who's never seen this movie to find out if it truly holds up, if it's truly a masterpiece from the 90s. And I couldn't think of a better person to bring on than my friend Deidre. Deidre, how are you?
Hello. It is me, the fresh me. I can't believe you guys started talking about the pudding balloons with me not able to talk. I was dying.
So Deidre is here. I wanted to get her on the podcast at some point regardless. And when I found out she hadn't watched this movie, I was like, this is perfect. Because we did mention Deidre when we talked about You've Got Mail. And, you know, famously, Deidre watched along with me, and we both decided that movie did not hold up whatsoever.
Yeah, Deidre, you wrote a scathing review of You've Got Mail.
Yes. Which is... That is the only time I have ever sent feedback into any podcast.
You hated it. You hated it. Not even my boyfriend, Tom Hanks, could have saved that movie for you.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I had seen that movie and Jess had it, and the nostalgia goggles just came off, and not even Tom Hanks could save it. Tom Hanks is just an asshole in all the movies that Jess has to watch lately.
Seriously, yeah. It is truly tragic. It's really horrifying for me because I'm used to, like, you know, the Tom Hanks that I know and love. You know, the Toy Story Tom Hanks and the Castaway Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump Tom Hanks. Not this trash basket.
We don't have any Tom Hanks in this movie, but we do get his wife.
Exactly. I feel like whatever we watch is either Tom Hanks or Tom Hanks adjacent.
No, this movie is so Tom Hanks adjacent. Not only is Rita Wilson in it, but also Rosie O'Donnell is in it. So we got that A League of Their Own, adjacentness as well.
This is like a full-on League of Their Own prequel with Christina Ricci playing, like, baby Rosie O'Donnell. Playing softball and punching a guy in the face.
Yeah, it actually works out pretty perfectly. So, as you know, if you haven't watched this movie, it's really, like, not available for streaming, unfortunately. I don't know why. I definitely feel like it should be. But it's a 1995 movie. It takes place, the majority of the movie takes place in 1970. Really gave me, like, especially having just watched Sandlot, I feel like it gave me, like, similar vibes. Like, it's a summer classic. I feel like it's, like, the girl version of Sandlot, almost. In the best way. Not that they're playing baseball, but the same vibes. You know what I mean, Sarah?
Yeah, I kind of think of this movie as the girl version of, like, Lean on Me, actually. Like,
oh, Stand By Me?
Stand By Me. Yeah.
Okay.
I still need
to watch that as well. I've never
seen that. Yeah, I haven't seen that either, but that's what it was billed to me as yesterday.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a group of friends, in this case, all girls, going on a adventure, solving a mystery. I mean, Deidre, did you expect this to be a mystery novel?
No, I definitely did not expect this to be a murder mystery.
Yeah.
That was a big plot twist. I feel like there were a lot of just completely out of left field, just random aspects of this, like, childhood adventure. Mm-hmm. But it being a murder mystery was definitely not on my bingo card.
Yeah. What would you say if I told you that this was written by none other than Pretty Little Liars, masterpiece worker, Marlene King?
So I've never watched Pretty Little Liars, but everything that I know about Pretty Little Liars actually does check out with it being a murder mystery of some girl teenagers.
Yeah, Jess, you've watched the Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, I never finished it, but that totally tracks. Like, obviously, I feel like this is a little bit more of a serious, like, it's not a serious movie, but it's more serious. You could take it seriously versus Pretty Little Liars, which you absolutely cannot take seriously at all.
I would say that the content of Pretty Little Liars is actually very good, the books, but that's a different podcast for a different day. But when I saw this was written by Marlene King, I was like, holy crap. Like, this was, like, new information for me.
Yeah, I didn't know that, although I don't know that I would have, like, recognized her name without you saying it. But, like, we have a seriously stacked cast here. Like, I didn't even remember, like, obviously the names that first come to mind are, like, Rosie O'Donnell, Christina Ricci, Demi Moore, Rita Wilson. But, like, Melanie Griffith is in this. And then a little baby Gabby Hoffman. Like,
she's so crazy. Cute. And she looks exactly the same
but
as she does now.
But the thing that drives me crazy, and Deidre, I know you'll understand this, is I'm like, this girl, I feel like, naturally has curly hair. Like,
she
definitely has natural curly hair. And I was like, what did they do to poor baby Gabby Hoffman's hair in this movie?
It's certainly possible. It is certainly possible.
It didn't bother
me as much.
Well, I could tell because as someone who has, I would say, wavy hair, I'm certainly not of the curly, kinky-haired variety, but I could spot from a mile away when someone has curly hair and it's straightened because it has a very poofy look to it, and that girl has some poof. So
yeah, but when they went swimming in the river, her hair didn't get curly.
That's fair. Maybe she curled it later on in her life. I just know, like, for example, she's played some Jewish characters in some show. Like, Transparent is the one I'm thinking of, where she plays Ali Pfefferman. And she has very curly hair. So I don't know. Maybe you know what? Maybe her curls didn't develop until later on in her life.
So I last recognized her from Girls, and she was a very weird character in Girls.
She was very weird. Very weird.
Also, she is adjacent to Tom Hanks as well because she was in Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, look at that. Oh, my God. So much Tom Hanks. I recognized her, obviously, from Girls and Transparent. Huge name there. Christina Ricci. I mean, a woman of the 90s. We covered Casper, where she also had a romantic interest in Devon Sawa. So I feel like we really, like, I feel like almost like the latter movie podcast, where we can connect this to, like, so many other movies we've already watched on this podcast.
Yeah. Thor Birch, who is in Hocus Pocus, which we did not cover, but we obviously love Hocus Pocus.
Yes. Just so many Rita Wilson, Devon Sawa, Cloris Leachman. Like, it's to me, and it's like Hank Azaria, who played, like, the guy that her mom ends up dating after,
their first date, he decides to go to dinner at her house with her two children.
Awful, truly horrifying. And then what is Sam's mom thinking when she's like, let me just put my husband's old shirt that literally has his name embroidered on it on this new guy I'm dating, and I'm sure Sam will be completely fine with it.
Bad move. That was horrible. two more names, famous names, if you will indulge me. Janine Garofalo as Willa Dean, the diner waitress slash psychic, and Brendan Fraser of Mummy fame.
Yes, Deidre, talk about Brendan Fraser, because you had messaged me when you saw him on screen, like, what?
Yes, I had no idea that he was in this movie, like, because I only saw the picture that was on, like, the poster. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have any of the, you know, the other names on it. And he popped up, and I didn't recognize him at first, and then it, like, goes in for a close-up, and it was just, like, whoa, A, this is Brendan Fraser, and B, Brendan Fraser is hot.
Yeah. Hank Azaria is good looking in this movie, too.
It's like they're all so young.
Yeah, but Hank Azaria is good looking in Friends, so we're
yes,
already
Yes, David.
Okay. I forgot about yes. that.
I love him as David. Yeah, he's very cute, like, nerdy science guy. Mm-hmm. Just, like, yeah, the amount of, like, famous people in this movie is kind of astounding, because I just feel like this movie is not talked enough about, right? Like, we did Sandlot. We covered Sandlot. Sandlot is, like, everybody loves Sandlot. Everybody knows about Sandlot. I don't feel like Now and Then has the same kind of notableness, you know, notoriety, I suppose, right? Like,
I hadn't even heard of this movie.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, Deidre, how did you miss this movie?
I honestly have no idea. I mean, there are so many movies that I haven't seen. Like, it's just a safer bet to assume that I haven't seen a movie than that I have. But, like, even in the, like, list of, you know, the coming-of-age stories that we've, you know, that we've talked about, Sandlot, Stand By Me, Goonies, like, I've heard of all of those, even if I haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. But I had never even heard of Now and Then until it came up, like, very recently in the Post-Show Recaps Theater poll, where it did not get picked. And thank God it didn't. Well, thank God it didn't, because then we can talk about it now.
No, truly, it's fair. Like, and I remember when that poll went up, I had messaged Sarah, like, oh, Now and Then is on the poll. And we had obviously always talked about covering it. And we just thought it was more of a summer movie, so we wanted to wait until summer. And then I was, like, you know, disappointed it didn't get picked just because I love it. But then I was, like, okay, great. Like, we'll definitely be able to cover it later on, because it truly is a classic. So, Sarah, talk a little bit about, like, your history with the movie, because I know you own this on DVD, famously. So
I do own it on DVD. You know what? I've watched this movie for so long, I can't even recall when I started watching this movie. But this mm-hmm. is a top five movie for me. Absolutely. In my existence, I've always loved it. This might have been one of those I've previously mentioned that Rosie O'Donnell was a staple in our household for mm-hmm. whatever reason. So this might have got in, like, grouped into the we like Rosie O'Donnell thing. But I have been watching this movie forever. I've always loved it. Watched it countless times, cried to it many a times.
I had messaged Deidre, and I was, because she asked me before we watched it, like, oh, is this a sad movie? It's been a hot minute since I've seen the film. So I said, I don't think it's particularly sad. Like, there's probably some moments, but I don't think it's a very sad movie. And then after I watched it, I messaged Deidre, and I was like, okay, there are some, like, sad moments. If you're, like, prone to crying for films, you might. And mm-hmm. I was like, I guarantee Sarah cried probably three times throughout the movie.
This time I did not cry, but I have cried many a times before. I just love it. I love, like, you know, I've talked many a times that I'm a girl's girl, and this is, like, a girl's movie. It's about friendships throughout the ages. You know, we see them as 12-year-olds, and then I'm gonna say something that really is actually making me physically sick. They're meant to be it, like, okay, so I've seen contradicting things that the future takes place in either 1991 or 1995, so I'm not positive which.
Yeah, but I've seen both as well.
They're either 33 or 35, 36.
Oh my God, how old does that make you feel?
As a 32-year-old that's been watching this movie since before she was 12, it literally makes my stomach hurt. Like, oh my God, like, this is me, like, this is my age. I'm meant to, like, be in a treehouse with my three other friends talking about babies and, like, marriage.
I mean, that said, I feel like knowing that they, you know, only one of them has a child and only some of them are partnered, like, It kind of feels like they should be canonically younger than 33 or 35.
But they look. I'm like, okay, Rosie O'Donnell is literally 33. I did the math. She's the youngest of this bunch. Are you telling me I look like Rosie O'Donnell? Like, I swear in my head, I'm like, oh, Rosie looks 45 in this movie. The oldest, yes, strangely enough, was Melanie Griffith, and she was 37.
That's horrifying.
She looks amazing for her. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The whole, like, I was talking to Jess about this a little bit because I was confused about what age the girls were supposed to be. But I think it's just, like, everybody now is, like, 35 playing 16-year-olds in high school. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have, like, 40-year-old action stars that are playing, like, 25. So I am just, like, I can't tell how old people are or are supposed to be anymore, mm-hmm. but I would never have guessed that those women were in their mid-30s while they were filming this, let alone that they were supposed to be in their mid-30s.
Yeah. How about you, Jess? Like, how did you find this movie? What's your history with Now and Then?
If I had to guess, I probably originally saw it on, like, ABC Family or something when it was on.
This movie has big ABC Family energy.
It very much does. And I, of course, because I immediately connected with it, I agree with Sarah. Like, I really love the energy of, like, girls having each other's backs and, like, forming these amazing friendships that last years and years. And even though they're not living in the same town, they don't always stay connected, they'll always be there for each other. Like, I really loved that storyline. I really loved Christina Ricci as well as a kid, and I loved her character in this movie. Roberta was my character, especially because at the age of 12, I also had a larger chest. I had boobs very early on. I feel like I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I don't know why my boobs come up as it's sometimes, but I also had a larger chest, and I was really self-conscious about it. I wore sports bras that were like, that would tampon them down because I didn't want, no one else my age had boobs. And so I felt really awkward about it. And not only that, but I was similar to Roberta in that I love to play sports. I certainly was more like, I don't really like the word tomboy anymore, but I was definitely into sports and, you know, into athletics and outside all the time and not really into the girlier, you know, quote unquote girlier type of things. And so Roberta, I really fell in love with her taping down her boobs, right? Like her being, the fact that she is like an angry person. I wouldn't say I'm an angry person per se, but like I felt like that you could totally relate to. And so I just loved this movie. I thought it was wonderful. I think it still holds up wonderfully. Although I will say, I think my favorite character has changed, which is kind of crazy.
Goodness Soccer. Gracious.
Yeah, okay. And I still love Roberta, don't get me wrong. I still love her. But I feel like it's more of a contest now than it ever was when I was a kid.
God.
We have the four characters. We have Roberta, we have Teeny, Samantha, and Chrissy. I gotta be honest. Chrissy is in no way, shape, or form ever vying for my top position.
That's so bad for her.
Oh my, the dud of the duds. Oh my god. Never liked her, probably never will. She's definitely the Miranda of the bunch.
I love Miranda from Sex and the City.
Girl had a Miranda. Strong eyebrow game, though. That is the one thing she had going for
Fierce
her.
Fierce eyebrows. This is the young version of Chrissy we're talking about. Ashley, yes. Aston Moore. Amazing eyebrows. But yeah, Chrissy is kind of like the wet blanket of the bunch. She always just is whining and complaining. Her mother creeps me the hell out.
Oh, God.
The mother is terrifying.
Her mother is like, what is wrong with society?
Planting his seed and watering your flower. So awkward. But yeah, Chrissy, and the fact that she still lives in her mother's old house is like a bit strange.
But yeah.
Super weird. Like, and that she hasn't redecorated whatsoever.
The plastic covering on the furniture still. Like,
oh my God. That was so 90s at her, mm-hmm. The plastic-covered furniture.
She, like, always is telling people not to swear. Oh, we don't swear or keep hard liquor in the house. Breast is supposedly a swear word. Roberta's a doctor, Chrissy. Calm down. Breast is, like, literally the term you should be using. She didn't say tits. You know, calm down, Chrissy.
Not even a boob.
thank you. Like, come on. Some I feel like, ta-tas. I don't know. Yeah, ta-tas. Come on, Chrissy. Like, I just wanted to, like, loosen her up a bit, you know? Can we all agree that she would fall fourth in any ranking by most people?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Sorry, Chrissy. It has to be done.
We love Rita Wilson. We love Rita Wilson. But it did have to, it truly had to be done. And so, Deidre, this is something you asked me, and I said I wasn't sure of the answer, but I feel like Sarah will know. Did Chrissy end up marrying that, like, nerdy guy with the glasses who, like, picks his nose?
I always assume so. Like, that was my understanding. When I came into the movie today or yesterday when I watched it, that's what I remembered. But the weirdest thing is that she married a Martin, I think is her husband's name, but they called him Bobby in the beginning.
Well, what about the kid? Okay, so if it wasn't the Red Rover kid, could it have been the kid that,
on the
you
fence.
Know, the softball scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, that approaches Chrissy on the fence.
That's the same kid, I thought.
I thought it was the same kid. It's, okay, in my memory, it was
I was just
the
too lazy
kid.
To go to IMDb to find out.
Yeah, go on the IMDb, double check. I was 99% sure that it was the same kid. Like, positive. And then yesterday, I just started doubting everything.
I feel like it has to be because, in my opinion, the way that they did, so in the 70s, we see the two different nerdy kids both have glasses, and, like, one of them, like, pushes the bridge of his glasses up onto his nose. And so does her husband once he arrives super late to her giving birth, by the way. Let's just have
He had
around.
A root canal. It's not his fault. Busy guy. You can't stop a root canal.
Don't
mid
schedule
root canal.
A root canal around the time that your woman is your wife is, like, going
your
to be
woman.
Having a kid. Your I don't know why it's
your
a woman.
Woman.
The woman, your wife, is going to be having a child. Just wait another, like, or do it earlier.
Maybe it was an emergency root canal.
Maybe. But yes. Yeah,
wait,
so
was her husband's was his name Morton?
It could have been
maybe
Morton.
It was, yes.
Okay, so I think, so IMDb, this is live updates. So there are people credited as young Morton and Dr. Morton Williams. So,
so it is
he
him.
Might be the doctor that is doing the root canal.
No, yeah, he's the doctor that was doing the root canal.
Oh, just
oh,
kidding.
I thought
yeah,
you meant he
so
was
it's not,
getting a root canal.
Not
no,
guy
he
had,
was
had
giving the root
tooth.
Canal. That's why I'm like, I'm like, he can't stop a root canal.
I thought you meant
canal.
He scheduled a root
no,
canal. Like, as
yeah,
a person
no,
he getting
scheduled
one.
A root canal. Like, he was doing
got
a root
it.
Canal. He can't, like, it's an emergency root canal. Remember, Jessica, in October, I had an emergency root canal. My cheeks
Sarah
were
knows
this
all about
big.
It.
Like, I can't be like, sorry, doc.
All right.
Like, you gotta leave right now. I'm, like, literally yeah. in pain.
I also feel
I don't
like,
know. To Jess's credit, I did schedule a root canal at one point.
There you go.
So.
But here's the thing. I feel like in movies, too, like, this is something that if anybody is, like, an OBGYN or something like that and wants to weigh in, I feel like movie births are always crazy because, like,
oh, yeah.
it takes longer than, like, 30 minutes to push a baby out, generally speaking. And so, like, especially nowadays, I feel like people are in labor for over, like, 24 hours. So he'd have plenty of time to finish up that root canal and get in there.
Well, it seems like this became, like, very sudden. Like,
yeah, oh,
know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, as with many Hollywood births from
right.
they're
very
from
dramatic.
Not present day.
Very
yes.
dramatic. But, yeah.
So I have an insane casting announcement that I, like, it must
oh.
be it must be brought to this podcast.
Okay.
So, Bud's news photographer, also, I don't have any recollection of what Bud's news photographer is, but so Bud is the guy, is Hank Azaria, right, I think?
Right. Yes.
So his news photographer is played by the guy who plays the Teletubby Tinky Winky.
Oh. But when
there
did
he
news
need a photographer?
I have truly no idea. I wonder if it was a deleted scene, but
yeah.
it is on the IMDb page.
What was his job?
The news photographer.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying what was Bud's job?
No
idea.
Did
he have a job? Interesting. Yeah, Bud was quite the character. I was, like, not pleased with how quickly he was, like, all up Angela's shit. Like, he, like, was holding her when Sam walks in. I'm like, you just met this dude. Like, just met him. Like, you're not even small enough to be, like, held. Like, you're, like, 7. Like, calm down.
That, yeah. you know who that was, actually?
Oh, that's Demi Moore's
yeah.
daughter, right?
Yeah, Rumor Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't she the one that's been on The Masked Singer?
Has she been on The Masked Singer? She's the one with the giant chin, but that's
one of the Willis daughters was on The Masked Singer, I believe.
Oh my goodness, interesting. She was.
Well, there you go.
Wow, look at that. Oh yeah, she was good too, I think. Yes. So, on to you. Who do we want to talk about next? Do we want to do Teeny, Sam, or Roberta of like the four?
Yeah, let's go switch over to Roberta as Chrissy's BFF, which, by the way, we got to get into the rules of Friends eventually, how three is no good and four is perfect because they split off into twos. Mm-hmm. This is a scientific theory. But Chrissy's best friend is definitely Roberta, who also stayed in the Gaslight District. What is it called?
The Gaslight Edition. Yeah, what the Gaslight Edition. Weird name for like a cul-de-sac like situation, right? A development. Yeah. Gaslighting. Yeah. I feel like
You know what though is I noticed that their street had gaslights before they said what the name of their neighborhood was, and then so when they said like, oh, the neighborhood's called Gaslight Edition, I was like, oh my god, that's why there were gaslights.
Yeah. Mm. I just can't help but thinking of like the negative connotation of the word gaslight. Oh, yeah. Nowadays,
of course. Yeah. Yeah, it certainly carries a different meaning nowadays. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, so played by, of course, Rosie O'Donnell and Christina Ricci. Roberta is like more of like the rough and tough. She lost her mother recently. She lives with her father and like multiple brothers. And
a very cute dog.
Yes. Her dog.
Adorable.
Future Roberta is an OBGYN who apparently was hired by Chrissy to deliver her baby, which is very weird to me because, like, even my bestest of friends, I still would not want them as my doctor delivering my baby.
But once they've seen your vagina, you really can't take that back.
No, you can't go back from that.
But yeah, like apparently that doesn't bother Chrissy. If anyone can see her hoo-ha, her flower, then I guess that should be her best friend, Roberta.
I thought that it was like a last minute switch to the Roberta hospital.
But then, like, what? Like, Roberta's like, hey, you know, person on call, you're not allowed to deliver this baby. No one could do it like me.
Yeah. Do I love they care? She takes over driving the limousine as well because she's like, you're not going to go fast enough. Get out.
If you're, like, an OBGYN that you're supposed to deliver a baby and another doctor is like, okay, I'm going to deliver this baby now. Like, do you think you'd care? Deliver somebody else's baby.
I don't know if, like, the liability for the hospital, I feel like they would need, like, to be, like, with that hospital, affiliated in some
way. We need a medical malpractice correspondent.
Is Roberta affiliated with the hospital that they wind up in? That's what I want to know.
I got the feeling that, like, the town that they – because they're in Indiana, right?
Yeah, and
I got
Shelby, the feeling, Indiana.
Yeah. I got the feeling that, like, maybe it would only have one hospital. But maybe it's bigger than I'm giving it credit for. So Roberta's interesting. She hates her chest. She tapes her breasts down. I felt like I didn't remember Roberta's like anger and overcoming her grief being like such a massive storyline from this movie, but I really loved it. I feel like it was completely realistic how a teenage girl, almost, you know, adolescent girl would kind of deal with that type of thing.
Yeah, I remember Roberta's meltdowns, especially when she was upset in the attic, in Sam's grandma's attic, that her dad lied to her about her mother dying with pain because she got into this like massive car accident. And her dad said like, oh, she like passed away on the spot. She felt no pain, but it was more traumatic than that. And I remember her like smashing the mirror. That was very like notable to me, mm-hmm. which is very disrespectful. Like, don't come into Sam's attic, grandma's attic, where you're already sneaking in and be smashing mirrors. Like the.
Yeah, I don't want to know how much that antique mirror probably
was. Oh, it was expensive. Cloris Leachman has good taste, guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't very nice. Another notable scene of hers, and we actually just were just talking about this, Jess, was when Roberta dives into like the shallow end of the lake and then pretends like she's dead. Weren't we just talking about pretending like you're dead in the lake? Which yes. is definitely where I got that from.
Yes, and obviously in The Sandlot when he pretends he's, you know, drowning in the pool to get the lifeguard to kiss him yes. or, you know, give him mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that storyline. Well, I
Why
think
is this a thing?
Squints, the reason he did it was to get, you know, the lifeguard to put her mouth on his mouth. But I feel like when I was a kid, I don't think I necessarily understood what Roberta was doing, why she would act the way she did, but it makes perfect sense now, right? Like, she tries to make death a joke so that she can, like, that's how she deals with her grief, you know, with her mother's death. And it was, I thought it, Christina Ricci was, like, one of the standouts in this movie. She's mm-hmm. so good. And her and Devon Sawa, I thought, was, like, a very cute, fun storyline. I kind of like that she doesn't divulge that to all her friends and kind of just keeps that for herself. And then I think her and Chrissy as a pair are certainly very interesting. They're complete opposites. But they work, right? I think that what the one doesn't have, the other does. Chrissy's a little bit more sensitive. She hates swearing. She's very proper. Roberta's the opposite of proper. And I feel like she'll stick up for Chrissy when Chrissy won't stick up for herself. So I loved Chrissy punching Roberta when she pretended to drown. It was very great.
Honestly, she deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that I read recently was that Rosie O'Donnell came out in an interview at one point and said that originally Roberta was supposed to be a lesbian and the director ultimately decided against it. And obviously Rosie O'Donnell is a lesbian herself. Funnily enough, I also kind of had a memory that she was a lesbian, but it like they had one line which apparently was dubbed afterwards that she was living in sin with a man.
Yeah. I one of my first notes that I took about this movie is that I was blown away that Roberta was not a lesbian.
It makes me very angry. I mean, obviously yeah. It's the 90s. It's a completely different time. But I wished, why couldn't this movie have been the movie where they're like, it's fine. Like, make her a lesbian. Who cares? I feel like it makes much more sense. And I think that it's even better if she has the Devon Sawa moment and then later comes out as gay or bisexual or whatever, right? Like, I would have much preferred that to adding in one line about her living with a boyfriend just so that she doesn't.
In sin. Yeah.
Like you have to state it.
It's also like 90s, like buttoned up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh, we can't forget to mention she's with a guy. We don't want people thinking she's a lesbian. Yeah.
That shit would not fly if this movie was remade in 2021.
No. Yeah. No. So that's like one of the, I feel like there isn't much that doesn't hold up. That's definitely one of the things that really pisses me off knowing after the fact, that is how they dealt with it. But yeah, Sarah, what do you think of Roberta? Is she more relatable to you than some of the others, or is she not really at the top of your list?
She's not the top of my favorites list then and now, but she's definitely not the bottom with Chrissy. It's probably like... those three, and then like five steps down, and then Chrissy. I mean, I loved Roberta.
Oh no.
I loved Roberta. I still love Roberta. It's not like she's not my, like, it's not like I dislike her. That's not the problem. It's just that, like, I loved Teeny and Samantha so much, and I still do. But I love Roberta's storyline. She taught me a lot, like how to pretend to fake my own death and how to tape my boobs. So I appreciate her. Christina Ricci is always a standout. And it's pretty obvious that she's leaps and bounds the best child actress out of the bunch, which is never surprising with Christina Ricci. Like, she is just phenomenal. She's always been phenomenal. And I think that, like, her storylines are very, very strong. Like, I'm thinking of, like, her in the library when she finds the article. I'm thinking of, like, her always defending, for the most part, Chrissy. She tells Chrissy to shut up a few times, but she deserves to be told to be to shut up.
I love when she's like, when she has that sass of like, Chrissy's like, oh, they're in the graveyard, and Chrissy's like, I'm cold. And Roberta's like, well, you can have my jacket. I guess I'll just be cold.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Roberta is like, is such a good character. And if I was like, if I didn't put in my like, who did I love when I was like 11 years old watching this movie, goggles on, I would say that she's probably the most compelling character out of the bunch, and like maybe even the leading character out of the four. I don't know if that's true.
Interesting.
I mean, the interesting thing is that the story is actually from Samantha's point of view. Like, Demi Moore is the narrator, but I think that Roberta had the strongest storylines. What do you think, Deidre?
Yeah, I think the storylines between Roberta and Samantha are definitely the two strongest. I think, you know, we find out a lot more about both of their family lives than the other two, and I think that really helps to develop them as characters. Yeah. I mean, I think I related to the two of them the most probably just because my parents got divorced when I was younger, and also I recently lost a parent, so I was definitely relating to their storylines a lot while I was watching it yesterday. But I just like I just couldn't get over like Roberta not being hugged by her friends in the library. Like, that is kind of the weird sticking point for me of like, how hard would it have been for them to just go over and hug her? And it really kind of took me out of their friendship. And I think I like really saw this movie in a different perspective after that, where, you know, I think it tries to portray like a really supportive female friendship, but they didn't really show up for Roberta the way that like Teenie showed up for Sam.
That's a good point. And I feel like Chrissy of all people seems like somebody who would give physical affection readily. Like, you know what I mean? So it is kind of, because I maybe Sam and Teenie not as much, but Chrissy definitely seems like somebody who would offer a hug to a friend who's going through something.
Yeah. I mean, she was just so upset, and to see not a single one of them like go over and console her, it was just kind of like very mind-blowing.
That's a very interesting point that I've never really like saw or realized before, and I'm going to have to take a look at that with a different perspective next time. Another thing to know is that in a way this isn't totally, it is a story about friendship, but they also explain that throughout this summer, it didn't necessarily bring them together. It, like, they said that it established their independence. So they learned how to kind of come into their own, like, each of them coming into their own. And it's also kind of interesting because, like, in, you know, 20 years, they're, for the most part, like, not really hanging out anymore. Like, there's definitely some distance that got in between them. They all like went on to different paths in their lives, and they're doing different stuff.
Yeah, Demi Moore said that was her first time back in
10 years or something, years. Right?
Yeah,
yeah. I think that like I got the feeling that Chrissy and Roberta were still hanging out a decent amount because they both lived in Indiana, in I assume the same town, like Shelby, Indiana. But definitely that Teenie and Sam had their own lives. They seem pretty successful in their own respective fields. But yeah, should we move on to let's talk through Teenie? I feel like Teenie could have had a bit of a bigger storyline. I think she gets kind of set aside, we know that her parents are both successful actors, right? And so they're not necessarily home all the time. They don't really pay much attention to her. She's an only child. She seems obsessed with, you know, fashion and looking great. Childhood, or a child version of me, would have loved her bedroom. It was like bright pink and orange and like the most colorful colors. And yeah, I love, I mean, truly, I think the most iconic thing about Teenie is putting the pudding in the water balloons.
The pudding balloon boobs is iconic. I cannot believe I had never even heard reference to pudding boobs. Like, I was dying at that scene when she was like, no, of course, Jell-O is too jiggly. And then they asked her what flavor pudding, and she goes, of course, vanilla.
Has to match my skin tone. Can't do that so chocolate. Weird.
I and like, how do they smell after being out in the sun?
Oh, no.
Not good. Definitely not good. But it's genius. And she says she got the idea from the boys, the wormers, the wormy wormers, throwing the Jell-O filled balloons at them. That's where, and I'm like, she's a genius. That's iconic.
She is a genius. The Jell-O balloons is also a genius, I'm not going to lie. I've had many water balloon fights as a child, and I really wish that I had known about Jell-O balloons. Uh-huh. I would have really been able to seriously torture my younger brother with some Jell-O balloons.
Some serious damage.
Yeah.
I loved Teenie. Like, she was my favorite. I was
going to guess that she would be your favorite.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I think her story is a little understated because, like, it's more so, like, emotional negligence from her parents.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't pay attention to her. They're always partying. I'm pretty sure they're swingers. They're definitely, like, rich country club parents. They don't give a crap what she's up to at all. So she spends a lot of her time, like, dreaming of a way to get out and, like, create her own destiny. So, of course, she loves makeup. She loves glamour. She loves sitting on the top of her roof and watching old movies at the drive-thru, which I think is, like, was so cool. She's like,
she like knew the words visual. Too. Yeah. Yeah, she was like reciting them.
She's spicy. I loved her. I also love, like, she's like, she is a little like, she's not snarky. And when Roberta's not there for Chrissy, Teenie's there for Chrissy. If you kind of watch closely, like, she's the one that's like consoling Chrissy's dramas. And I mean, I loved her. I just feel like it's very like understated, her storyline. You have to like kind of watch, like, she has big dreams. I love that she got out like the People magazine with the quiz,
the Cosmo quiz.
It's Cosmo. Yes.
It was so, cause I know this movie takes place in the 70s, but I felt like there were so many aspects that were also super 90s and, yeah, like early 2000s, like the riding your bikes around the neighborhood without really needing to be chaperoned all the time. The with the music as well. And then the Cosmo quiz, the your idea of foreplay is a candlelit dinner and walk on the beach, making out on a bearskin rug at a cabin, watching a sexy movie, or all of the above. And I would have been Roberta, who was like, none of the above.
Yeah, I love how Teenie's like, her results are like, you are like a sexual predator, like men should be like afraid to be in your path, like, and she's like, yes, this sounds 100% right, like 12-year-old Teenie that's like never even like looked at a guy yet or had a guy look for her. But
I think it ends up tracking though. Oh, yeah. When she's an adult, right? Because we find out she's been married like 4 times, but one of them was annulled.
Didn't count.
And Deidre, tell me this doesn't track, that like, okay, your parents don't pay any attention to you, you're an only child, and you're starved for attention, so she becomes like an actress and marries a bunch of guys.
She probably has some attachment issues.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to the Cosmo quiz, like, I was just, I thought it was hilarious, like, looking back in retrospect, that that Chrissy, who thinks that breast is a swear word, didn't balk at the word foreplay and seemed to know what it meant.
That's true. Maybe she, I feel like maybe she was just like pretending to know or something, right? Because what is it that she doesn't, well, she doesn't really understand sex because she's like, oh, the man takes out his watering can and sprinkles it on.
Oh, yes. Dear God. I wrote down what his, what her mom said, that a garden needs a big hose to water it or a small hose if it works. I want that embroidered on a pillow.
Small hoses sure, do the job.
And I'm pretty sure
you only need a 3-inch hose.
In that same scene, I'm pretty sure it said Chrissy becomes obsessed with gardening.
Yes. So a lifelong obsession with gardening.
It was so funny. It was so funny. Yeah, Teeny is truly great. It made me
look differently at my garden that I love out back.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so Teeny's great. I do agree with you, Sarah. I feel like... like, it's really Roberta and Sam are, like, the two main players. And Teeny even has, like, maybe even a smaller storyline than Chrissy. Like, blink and you'll miss it type of thing. But it's still, they all go through very different, but, like, they struggle in very different ways in their childhoods. Mm-hmm. Chrissy has a parent who won't explain sex properly to her, and she's very naive. Then Teeny just is completely neglected for the most part. You know, obviously, Roberta has her own struggles with her, you know, a parent dying and not really, like, struggling to understand her body changing. And then we have Sam, who I think is definitely one of the main characters. And, oh, my God, Gabby Hoffman. If we're going to put Christina Ricci up there with one of the best child actors in the film, definitely Gabby Hoffman is going to give her a run for her money. I thought she played the character of Sam wonderfully going through, I don't know. And it's, Deidre, maybe you can dive into this a little bit more. My parents aren't divorced, so I never went through anything like that. But I have a feeling that Sam saying that she's in bed reading with a flashlight, highly relatable, and she hears her parents arguing, and it's become like a source of comfort for her because it's every day. She's used to it. That is what she's used to hearing. But then when her dad actually leaves, she's devastated. And so, like, being a child of divorce, Deidre, like, did you find Sam to be more relatable than some of the others?
Yeah, super relatable. I mean, my parents split up when I was 6, so Sam is 12, right, when her parents split up. And I think there's, like, a huge gap of knowledge that she has about the world that I didn't have at all. But, I mean, I definitely remember my parents or my mom sitting down and telling me why the house was half empty and why a lot of our furniture was gone and why my dad wasn't there. But my dad didn't just leave. My parents split custody, and my mom and my dad stayed best friends up until he passed last year. But I definitely remember just that, like, just confusion and trying to work through those feelings about what that means for you. And, you know, my parents didn't really fight around me before they split up, but they definitely fought, you know, after in the proceedings and everything. And, you know, it really does affect you as a child. I think no matter how old you are and no matter how much it happens, I think it's really kind of unavoidable to be affected by just a lot of, like, strife. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that, especially that one conversation between Teeny and Sam on the roof about how, you know, kind of everybody has their shit and normal isn't really normal because it's actually normal to be kind of effed up from everything. And most families just kind of hide their shit. So I think, you know, that was a really, like, healthy conversation for them to have as 12-year-olds. And I kind of wish that, you know, I had seen more things like this when I was actually a kid rather than now as a 31-year-old adult. But yeah, it's very interesting. I love Gabby Hoffman. I loved Sam. She was definitely my favorite, I think.
Yeah, I think that I also think, like, I loved Sam feeling, not, I didn't love this, but I felt like this is very accurate and realistic that Sam would feel like she can't tell any of her friends because she's, like, the only one whose parents are divorcing. And it's different than Roberta, who her parents were in love. She lost her to death. It's, you know, it's a final thing versus her dad just, like, basically abandoning them. I don't know if I want to say the word abandoned, but he's leaving the family, and it's not a split custody situation. I know you, Sarah, I know you loved the teeny Sam stuff, especially the situation where she falls into the storm drain.
Imagine being small enough to like be inside of a storm drain.
Yeah,
and a storm drain coming up in a coming of age movie. Like when I saw it, I just like I knew something bad was going to happen.
Yeah. So this is right after that roof scene. Well, actually, no. They go to the treehouse. This is, I think, a different.
No, it's the same. It's all the same night. Well, because the reason she goes into the storm drain is because she loses the bracelet that Teeny gives to her.
So Teeny has this like. Gross, like, bead necklace.
And then just seed beads on a string.
But you know that it meant the world to her because we all had those types of things as kids.
Yeah. So she breaks her necklace apart, makes it into two bracelets, an unbreakable bond of two best friends in a group of four. I'm going to give you and only you my half of my necklace for a bead bracelet. So then
the
it's
shade.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear Sarah's lesson on friendship etiquette soon.
So
it's coming up.
So I'm just waiting for it.
So then you go ride your bikes, and then all of a sudden, Teeny did not tie the bracelet tight enough. Her knot skills, bad. Never learned that in Girl Scouts. So of course the fucking bracelet is like goes down the sewer, and it's like she's like I lost it, shocked that she even realized. Then she's like, oh, let me go get it in the storm drain. It's like there is definitely
she just
no,
slips right on in.
Yeah, no,
she's so tiny.
Yeah, no murderous clowns in the sewer drain. Never saw it. Goes down there, and then a monsoon of rain comes, and she gets like poured water on, and she's like, I can't get out. Teeny does nothing. She's so dramatic. She's like wailing into the sky.
Sam!
Starts like banging. She doesn't even try really to lift up
to lift
the sewer grate. She just starts smacking it, which is the opposite of helpful. And you know it's like, she's like, I just did my nails, girl. Like, I really don't want to put my little fingers in the grate holes. Like, I don't want to. And then Crazy Pete comes and saves the day and saves Sam. She got the bracelet, though, so at least she has that. Yeah. That's the only thing.
She narrowly escaped with her life and the bracelet.
And her bracelet. Thank
Truly,
goodness.
I didn't. Once the scene was happening, I remembered it, but I didn't remember it up until it was happening, and I was like, oh, this is quite dramatic and traumatizing.
I don't know how. That's, like, the most iconic scene, almost, I think.
Yeah, to me the most iconic was always Roberta taping down her boobs. Like that was always the thing that I remembered the most. But yeah, and I think like so we have Sam saved, and I love her just like fascination with what is it, Dear Johnny, right?
Yeah, Dear Johnny.
Dear Johnny.
And figuring out what happened to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's obsessed with this. And then we find out that it's really Pete's wife and
which
child.
She also kept secret all those years. Secrets. One more thing on the sewer situation. I love when Teeny's like, he wouldn't have been there, Sam. He wouldn't have been there. It's like...
She's just reminding her that she would have died.
Yeah, and then like and then Demi Moore comes on and she's like, we both know what would have happened if Crazy P wasn't taking a stroll at 3 a.m. on a
so
random
dark.
Thursday night.
Mm-hmm, I couldn't believe that Teeny didn't like take off her rain jacket to like pull down for Sam as like a rope.
She did nothing.
Like, she really did. She like put her hand down one time and then
that was it.
Yeah, like
she just started crying and smacking the sewer grate. Like terrible job. I'm sorry. I just can't go over it. It's just so it's funny. It's funny how...
It's funny knowing that, yeah, knowing that Sam is fine and everything after the fact. You're like, Teenie, what were you thinking? Like, what was the plan here?
But that scene definitely made me...
She had no plan.
No plan. Yeah. That scene definitely made me cry back in the day. Just like,
I figured that was one of the ones.
Just being friends. And the scene before that, that's like probably my favorite part back in the day. Loved it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You wouldn't have been
Can we go
there,
back to the
Sam?
Seance though? Okay, I have a question for you guys.
Okay, oh, yeah. So let's go back to the most, you know, this is, you know, the murder mystery part of this is that one of the things that these girls like to do is go to their local cemetery and have seances in the cemetery. It's disrespectful. Like, don't hang out in the cemetery, but it's something that they do. Which started my whole thing of every single sleepover that I possibly had from 11 on, seances every single time.
Iconic. Okay.
Every single time. So many seances.
So my question was going to be, have you ever done a seance? And your answer to that is emphatically yes, a million times.
Oh, a million seances. Every single time.
We never did seances. We certainly did like a Ouija board situation. Oh, yeah. But that I feel like once, and I was not into like, and I love Sam, I would have been like, I wouldn't have spoken up, but I would have been like the Chrissy, like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
100%. So I have only done a Ouija board one time, but the spirit that we were trying to contact was Tupac Shakur. So,
oh my God. Yeah. How amazing is that?
Hashtag seance goals.
Oh my God. That's been tough. Did you connect with him?
Yeah.
I mean, we did, but.
We did. What did you ask?
I don't think he had anything of note to remark.
No,
upon.
He didn't tell you who did it.
He did not know. Oh, and no. He definitely didn't tell me that he was going to come back as a hologram at Coachella a few years later. Yeah.
I heard he's still around hanging out in Canada, actually.
Oh, my God.
Everybody is just hanging out, still around.
Still
so.
Around, yeah. Yes. There's so many stories on Reddit.
You just have to figure out what is the right seance in order to be able to contact them and to figure out where they're hiding out.
Yeah. Have you ever done Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
No, yes. I know what it is. I never did it.
Oh,
you
did
never
it
did it?
Countless mm-hmm. times.
No. Yeah. I don't know how it works. I still don't understand the physics of it, but
it worked.
You
once.
Definitely can lift somebody up with just a couple fingers.
Yeah. We did it. But with the Ouija board, somebody always moves it.
Of course.
I mean, we know how it works now.
No,
we're all in our 30s. We know how it works now.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And everybody,
the one listener out there who is now learning how a Ouija board works, just come at us and let us know.
Yeah, like I totally believe that Sam, like, based on everything we know about her, would become like a really famous science fiction writer, being obsessed with death and, you know, wanting to do seances and always reading. She seems like she's always reading. I really enjoyed that. And actually, Sam was the character who I really connected with on this viewing versus when I was a kid. I just felt like Sam, I don't know, something about her, she just seemed more mature than the rest of them in different ways, obviously going through her parents' divorce and kind of keeping that hidden from everybody. I still can't believe, like Sarah was saying, that she kept that Dear Johnny secret. That would have been the first thing I told my friends. Like, yeah. Guys, we'll never guess. Guess what?
Yeah, it's crazy. I would have been like, told them right away, but she kept on to herself. I think that she's the type of person that likes to hold on to things on her own, being like the only person that knows something. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we get this whole mystery aspect of this movie where they try to connect to Dear Johnny in the cemetery at the seance, and they, you know, Chrissy does that like fake thing where she's like pretending like she's possessed by Dear Johnny. That was a nasty trick. And then they go home and like Sam's convinced that she felt Dear Johnny's spirit in the room. So then we go back and the tombstone is cracked. What a coincidence. It's crazy.
Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk?
Who would have thunk? But it was really just like the Crypt Keeper. Some of those people are called, I don't know.
Cemetery worker.
Okay, cemetery worker. We'll just, yeah. I like Crypt Keeper.
I think Crypt Keeper sounds spooky as hell.
I mean, technically what he does, I suppose, is keep crypt.
But like, he's a creeper.
Why is it so hard
to say creep? Yeah. But I have a question.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he installing a headstone in the middle
at
of the fucking night?
3 o'clock in the morning. Yes.
Bro, wait till light out. You're gonna hit a tree or some shit.
Well, he hit the tombstone. He like knocked it over
but
and
he's installing
it cracked.
A new one. Like, have you not fucking learned from the first time you did this?
Yes. That should not be overnight shift work, let me tell
no,
you.
No. You know, that should be like, you know, 4 a.m. when the sun's coming up so you have some light.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel like they have to know what happened to Dear Johnny. So then they're on like a whole thing where they have to ride their bikes into the neighboring town to go into the library and find like the documents room, which I love the documents room, the giant books with like the, you know that smell of old book. Like I can smell that room.
Yeah. I'm the Chrissy who's like, I'm allergic to all this dust.
Yeah.
My allergies would have been acting a fool in that room.
Oh yeah. I'm not a fan of the smell of old books.
Really?
I don't know if that's
a hot take. I like the smell
of books, but like I don't want to be in an old ass dusty room because
Sarah, the smell of old books is the smell of dust.
Oh. Maybe I just like the smells of dust. Maybe that's what it is. This was the longest day in history. Truly exhausting. Right?
They did a lot of exercise.
This is the same day that they like go swimming. It's the day that they steal the boys' clothes, which iconic. Not a very nice thing to do. But if I got hit with Jell-O-filled water balloons, hell yes, I'm getting my revenge.
I'm surprised that they even gave the clothes back.
Yeah. Also, best shadiness of the entire movie was Chrissy being like, it's not very big.
As we know, a small hose can still work.
It still can water that garden, bitch. It can still water a garden.
But then we have to teach Chrissy about boners, which I don't think that she was going to get it. Yeah. I don't think she was getting there.
I feel like it's literally also what happens with a garden hose. Like when you turn the faucet on and the hose gets a little more
gets expanded. Oh, yeah, especially those ones that like crinkle up when you don't use them. Same philosophy. And not for nothing, but they stopped and got bomb pops. And that is the perfect opportunity to explain like an erection. Because you could just push the bomb pop up and be like, this is a normal one. And you know what I mean? I feel like it could work with a bomb
pop. I've never heard them call them bomb pops.
Yeah, not to call Jess Sterling out, but that is in fact a push pop.
Yeah, that's a push
pop. And a bomb pop is something different.
Isn't a bomb pop the red, white, and blue one?
Yeah, that's not what they were eating, though.
Oh, I could have swore. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I had them mixed up because they're both red, white, and blue. But one is a push pop, one is a bomb pop. I had them mistaken. But yes.
I thought they were eating the like orange Flintstones.
Yeah, I
know. Like,
no.
Was it not red, white, and blue? I thought it was red, white, and blue.
It was not.
There are versions that are, though. I swear.
I believe you.
Sure.
But yes, they could have used those.
Pushing it down on the side. Longest day. They went everywhere. They spoke to Brendan Fraser, the Vietnam veteran.
They smoke cigarettes.
Unbelievable. Brendan Fraser giving these 12-year-old girls cigarettes.
I could not believe it. And then them following up with, are all hippies sex fiends? Like... How is that a just conversation that you have?
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about the best branding in history here? Was anybody else craving a Coca-Cola in a glass bottle after this movie, or was it just me? They drink Coke 24/7 in this movie.
Lots of Coca-Cola in this movie.
Strong product placement game.
And ultimately,
they also drink like liquor at Sam's grandmother's house.
Was it Sam? Okay, so what is it that Sam's grandmother gave them?
Lemonade.
Was it liquor?
Oh, it well, looks they, it was liquor. Lemonade. Like
they, but they both. I don't why believe were they it so was disgusted? Just lemonade. Yeah, they why? All like made that face of like, this is
because normal. It. She put too much sour powder in and not enough sugar.
I don't buy this. I think Grandma Samma made some made some giving like the lemonade Ricky's fucking or something.
Gin at the middle of the day. You think so?
That's the vibe I got from that grandma.
Really?
Yeah, she was so distracted, and then just like ran away with her friends in the convertible.
That's literally my mom. That's literally her.
Can that be us when we're 85
Cloris
years
Leachman,
old?
Cloris Leachman, like, see you later, kids. Gotta go to the casino.
Yeah.
Was it Marshawn? Oh, yeah, she had a bingo day? Tournament. A bingo tournament.
Yeah. Mm. No, I thought Cloris Leachman was wonderful in that scene, in that role. I thought it was really funny. But, yeah, like, so many notable people in this movie. Yeah. And
she the way that she answered the door with just, like, a cat hanging out of her hands. Like, truly Wait, so iconic.
Did they visit the grandma that day, too?
Yeah, I think it's all
they not.
This, there's 14 hours in this day. Well,
it's a long ass day.
Well, typically days.
Well,
are
you know, the sun
hours,
rises but... early and sets late in summer. So
that's true.
There you go.
They also go to the psychic, the Willadine, which stinks because. So another aspect of this is that they're trying to save enough money to buy a treehouse that is clearly nicer than my first apartment.
That treehouse was massive.
It was,
and
huge.
It was only like granted, it's in the '70s, but it was only like $120 or something.
Yeah, oh my it gosh. Made me really hurt for inflation.
Yeah.
So they paid the psychic $10.
$10.
The treehouse was only $120.
This is an expensive psychic.
That's an expensive psychic, is what it is. Yes, it's not a cheap treehouse. It's a very expensive psychic.
So what's that, like $100 nowadays? $50 to go to the psychic?
It's a lot.
Let's do some Googling and have some inflation.
1970.
Math.
Yeah, today. $10 in 1970. Let's see. $69.
$69.
Perfect.
So
honestly, that's not terrible when you think of a psychic. I could see it being more.
I went to the astrologer and she was like 180. So.
I mean, I've never been to the psychic or the astrologer, so I don't know what they charge.
Yeah, she did like tarot cards, right? This Willadine. Yeah. Yeah, she did tarot cards. So maybe that's a different thing, but or like different price wise. But yeah, so they did a lot in that day. And honestly,
I was expecting IMDb trivia to tell me like what the tarot cards meant. Not a single person has ever like done the analysis of what those tarot cards meant and
put it
online.
Somebody get on this. Somebody that knows tarot needs to get on this.
Yes, please.
We must know. And this is also one of the points in the movie where I feel like the soundtrack really shines when they're riding their bikes. Because we have so many iconic songs in this movie. Again, reminiscent of Sandlot that also has really great songs. Like, I just feel like the key to a good 90s film is you have to have, like, good friendship, amazing soundtrack, Coca-Cola.
Cute clothes. Yes.
Yes. Pudding boobs.
There is not enough pudding boobs in more movies. Not
We have like
the music is truly incredible though. Like it's just 70s bop after 70s bop, and it's like essentially exactly what is in my Spotify playlist.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain that I had Knock Three Times on my like first MP3 player because of this movie. Because I was obsessed with that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
It's
there's
a great
so much
song.
Jackson 5 too. Like Boots Are Made for Walking. Like, come on now. So good.
There is not – the only song in this movie that is bad is the song about this movie that plays over the end credits of
no,
this movie.
No, Deidre. No, Now and Then is the bop.
That is the least bop bop.
It's the least bop of the whole – there's the Jackson 5, like, I'll be there. I don't know the name of it, but that one – it might be the I'll Be There.
I think it is.
There's No Matter – what is it? Hitchin' a Ride.
Hitchin' a Ride.
So good.
Sugar, Sugar.
Sugar, Sugar. Aw, Honey, Honey. I Want You Back by the Jackson 5, Knock Three Times.
All Right Now.
I don't know the that one's good.
All right now.
Which actually I think one of them, it might be that one, didn't come out until like 75 or something or 71. Oh, yeah. So it wasn't realistic that it was played. But honestly, like, who gives a shit? Put it
who
in
cares?
The movie. Put it in the
yes.
movie.
If it's an anachronism about, like, a song, like, I don't care.
No, if it's going to enhance the movie, yes. I
put
don't
a good
care.
Song in. Doesn't matter if it didn't come out.
Yeah. Band of Gold.
Yeah. All that's left is a band of gold. It's so good.
We got a Sophie B. Hawkins song for the Which Sophie one? B. Hawkins dance.
Yeah.
As I Lay Me Down.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Like, there's so many good songs in this movie. Again, like, I feel like the soundtrack alone should have people watching this movie.
I can't believe you guys don't like the Now and Then song.
That
is such a good song.
I don't like it. I think that it's the lowest on the list of all these iconic songs in the movie.
So, did you guys ever watch that show on Netflix called Love?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, do you know in the scene where they are writing new movie end credit songs?
Yes.
Okay. That is exactly what this song, like, flashed me back to that episode of Love.
Okay, and I because was it just has the obsessed. Name in it. Yeah.
Yes. It literally just, like, the song lyrics are, like, about this movie, and it's called the title of the movie.
Yeah. Here, the first four lyrics. Started out like any summer. Days have felt like the lifetime love. That's when we found each other and we found ourselves. Ooh. Now and then, don't have to look back. Now and then, you're right here with me. Now and then, ooh, my friend, don't say goodbye again.
I just don't think it's as iconic as the other one.
It's so
iconic.
It's
not a good song. It's
like,
not
I feel
a good
like,
song.
I think that Knock Three Times is what's in the trailer
Knock
for
three
this movie.
Times.
And that one is why I love it so much, is because I feel like it's iconic. They're riding their bikes, and then they do the ching ching is like Chrissy on her bike.
Yes.
Like, it just fits perfectly.
Teeny is the keeper of the music. She
has the boombox.
She has the boombox on top in front of her bike. I like how they all have different bike colors.
Chrissy has the tassels. Is anybody surprised?
She has the tassels and the pink.
On a pink
of course.
Bike.
Yes. Teeny, I think, is
bitch
yellow.
Bitch dresses like a baby
gold.
Doll.
Yeah. Yeah, Chrissy sleeping in the rollers absolutely killed me.
Yes.
And her Who counting how many times to brush her hair.
If I had counted 100 times to brush my hair, oh my God, it would be massive. It would be this big. Like,
yeah.
So big.
I did that because of Marsha Brady and this movie. I always counted to brush
my
hair.
Yeah, but
your
hair isn't going to puff out when you brush it 100
times. It's only a thing that you can do if you have straight hair.
Yeah, you cannot do it with curly hair at all. Who do we think had the best, speaking of fashion, who do we think of the four girls had the best outfits? I was particularly fond of the see-through rainbow coat, or not rainbow coat, see-through raincoat.
Are we talking future or past?
I'm talking past, because we see the kids way more than we see the adults.
Because
I think it's gotta be Teeny, and there's really no argument.
Yeah, Teeny has some good
She's
clothes.
The only one who has any sense of fashion.
I will say I love Roberta, in the final like scene when they had the treehouse and everything, she's wearing these like super cute kind of like high-waisted skinny jean type of jeans with like a sweater tucked in.
Yes.
I really like Roberta in general. I feel like we all can agree that Chrissy's fashion is like she dresses like she's a little doll or
it's
something.
It's tragic.
It is.
Yeah. Well, Roberta has more confidence at that point, and she stopped taping her boobs because she made out with Scott Wormer. So after that point, she dressed, you know,
she
with
was
a little
tatas.
Bit of oomph.
Gonna see some tatas today.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do love Demi Moore's fashion in the future.
All she wears is black, and Chrissy's like, maybe you should incorporate some colors into your wardrobe.
Men
she
love
says,
pastels.
Men love women in pastels. Mm-hmm.
Chrissy, stop it. Stop it.
And then I love Teeny's, like, little, like, business suit, white mm-hmm. business, like, with the mini skirt. Like,
yes.
Very, like, Ally McBeal vibes.
They were coming home for was clearly a baby shower, right? Like, I'm not crazy.
Oh,
that was
I
a
thought
baby
they were
shower?
Coming home for like the birth of the baby because she was so far along. Like, do people have baby showers when you're like 9 months pregnant?
I thought that like the baby came a little early at the baby shower,
maybe.
But like it was insane to me that like what they all chose to wear to a baby shower was what they were
well, like,
wearing.
Do you love Sam's hair? I thought Sam's hair in the future with it tied like the braids.
Oh, I hated that. You
oh,
love
really?
That?
Really? I think it's a cool look. I don't know that she was necessarily pulling it off. in the best way possible, but I like that as like a hairstyle. I think it's cool.
I think your name needs to be like Agatha in order to pull that Heidi hairstyle.
Something
off.
Like Heidi. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like super it. Germanic.
Yeah. I like
but yeah,
it.
No, I've done the crown braid, and like that's I think a much better look than the weird like Heidi.
Yeah, it's
braid.
Too far in like the back. I do agree
yes.
with that. If
it needed
forward,
to
be
much
better.
Further forward, it needed to be in her hairline.
Yeah,
she could have done it. It had potential. It basically to me was like, I've seen somebody else do this. Let me try and recreate it, and then a complete like just failure.
I'm gonna do my hair while smoking a cigarette and driving at the same time. That is big Sam energy.
Oh my gosh. I also love how Chrissy's like really ragging on her writing. Like, Danielle Steele knows how to write a good book. Like, why don't you try to write like her? Like, yeah. All these creepy supernatural things are so weird. Like,
yeah. Chrissy's be less of a basic bitch, please.
Like, also, support your friends.
Yeah. She truly is pretty awful, honestly. Between, like, the book shaming, the clothing shaming, mm-hmm. just all together, talking about how Roberta lives in sin. Like, yeah. And not only that, but Chrissy, someone needs to give you, like, lessons on your wardrobe, because I couldn't. With the pink outfit with the bows.
So bad. Mm. And the way that she had her curls in the future, too, was just like, oh, yeah. God.
How dare they to Rita Wilson? How dare they?
How about the worst offense? I'm going to bring my one-day-old baby into the treehouse. I'm going to climb
oh
with a baby
God.
Under my shoulder into the tree, 20 feet in the air, and we're going to hang out after I just gave birth in the treehouse.
This treehouse is 20 years old.
No, 20
can
yards.
Can you believe that a woman who has just given birth decides to join a children's Red Rover game? Like, if four grown adults, including one woman who is immediately postpartum, tried to join my Red Rover game as a child, like, I would have called 911.
Yeah. But also, why are they doing it in Chrissy's backyard? Like, get out, children. They parked all their bikes in Chrissy's driveway. It's like, get out of here.
It was really strange.
So weird.
Those are things that are kind of, like, iffy. I still think, like, the treehouse looks, like, in peak condition, given the fact that it was built in the 70s. Like, you're telling me there's no wood rot? Like, Chrissy's not taking care of that, and her, like, nerdy-ass husband certainly isn't getting up there. And
they got a worker to come do it.
Maybe.
They're rich, I guess. Not really. I don't even know what
Chrissy probably
does.
Not hard to be rich in Shelby, Indiana.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. So overall, like, I love this movie. I think it held up remarkably well, considering everything, considering the fact that it's not only like a 90s movie, but it also takes place in the 70s. I still really enjoyed it. I would totally watch this again. I feel like anybody who hasn't seen this needs to go watch this movie. I loved it.
I would co-sign that, having been somebody who had not seen this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Before yesterday.
I mean, if you didn't like this movie, Deidre, I would have fought you, like, hard.
Oh, my God.
I probably would have just...
I was kind
of
nervous.
If I didn't like this movie, I was probably scared to come onto this podcast.
I was like, I was a little bit nervous that like there would be things that didn't hold up as well. And then after I watched it, I was like, Deidre has to love this movie. Like, there's no way she can't love it. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
It was so great. It was so great. I mean, there are weird like anachronisms, and they're not necessarily an anachronism, but there are just like weird things that don't quite add up or just were bizarre. Like, I noticed that when they were in the limo on the way to the hospital, Chrissy was just like bringing those tubes of tennis balls. Like, why was she bringing a tube of tennis balls to the movie? they had a comment that said that the baby looked like Rush Limbaugh, which I think 100% holds up today, despite the fact that it is much more controversial to say that a baby looks like Rush Limbaugh.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, there were so many Jell-O molds. They were eating Easy Cheese. Like, this movie was so great.
It had so many nuggets. Yeah. I also, in the limo, there was a VHS player, and, like, that really excited them. They're like, oh, my God,
like, tickled VHS. By the VHS player.
Yeah. She loved the limo.
Oh, and there was like a line that was like, in the days before MTV and Nintendo. Just very, very, very funny lines like that, that, you know, definitely place this movie in a particular point in time.
For sure.
Yeah, I definitely think it holds up. Sarah, did we get any feedback on this movie?
No specific feedback, but just general excitement.
Yeah, Will, I think if he watched this movie, wouldn't be a huge fan of Chrissy either.
It's hard to be a fan of Chrissy, I'm going to be honest.
It is. She's just, here's the thing. Oh, maybe this is a good way to like, is there a way, I feel like there's some kind of Sex and the City crossover thing, right? Like Chrissy would definitely be the Charlotte.
No.
And Teenie would be the Samantha, easily.
Yeah, yes. I can see that.
Would Sam be Miranda because she's like smart and like
I don't know why you would put that.
Well, she's
on her,
a writer like Carrie.
Oh, she's a writer like Carrie. And Roberta is Samantha. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, actually,
Roberta,
that checks out.
With 100%. Cynthia Nixon being a lesbian, like that actually does kind of work.
Checks out.
There we go.
I think it makes sense. So I think it tracks.
Yeah. Another thing that I'm reading right now is that in 2012, ABC Family were trying to develop this into a television series with Marlene King, but it did not move past the development stage. And then ultimately, well, actually, I think Pretty Little Liars came out in like 2008.
You know, I'm kind of happy with that. I don't think we need to, not everything needs to be like a reboot or a remake. Sometimes you just need to like let things be what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. And I almost wonder if the title of this movie is what is like holding it back from being something that people talk about more. Like, is Now and Then just not an exciting enough title for people to like want to watch it?
Yeah. I mean, I think our good friend Ben Martell has a thing where he doesn't watch TV shows if he doesn't like the title, and I don't think that this movie has a title that Ben would approve
would
of.
Draw you in. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, right? Like, I feel like I don't know what a better name for it is, but I feel like there could be something with that there.
Yeah. I think the title doesn't really tell you anything about what the movie is actually about. It basically is just like the gimmick of you have the same characters that are being played by actresses from two different generations.
I wonder if it was like the cast that they were hoping would draw people in. I mean, we have really famous people on this movie that were like super famous in the 90s. Demi Moore, mm-hmm. Rosie O'Donnell, like all those people are going to draw, hopefully would draw in a viewing audience.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Original name was the Gaslight Edition, which I don't think is
also
better.
Not a good. Yeah, it's also it's terrible.
Yeah,
it sounds like the name
so.
Of a, it's a good band name though. The Gaslight Edition.
That is a good band name. I don't know. I don't know what a better name would be for it. I don't know, but I just think that more people need to be watching this movie.
Do you want another IMDb fun fact?
Yes,
always.
Kirsten Dunst was offered the role of Chrissy but refused to gain weight for the role.
I hated that. There That's was a annoying. Lot of like Chrissy body shaming stuff, and like that girl is functionally the exact same size as the other girls.
Yeah, actually that is something that we should bring up that does not hold up is just like the amount. I mean, it's not a ton, but Chrissy's always just kind of, being poked fun at. And, again, like, the scene where the bird poops on her hair, if I was her friend, I would have laughed as well.
oh, yeah.
But
have you guys ever been pooped on by a bird?
I've never been pooped on.
Sarah, have you been pooped on by a bird, specifically?
I feel like...
She needed that clarification.
I feel like... It is reminiscent of a yes. I don't remember a specific time, but I feel like that has been in my past somewhere.
Yeah, I've definitely been at the beach in New Jersey and just had seagulls like just everywhere, and it supposedly is good luck, but I'm still, this definitely one of the reasons I still am to this day afraid of flying birds.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be pooped on, so I get that. But yeah, I think that's something that definitely doesn't hold up is just the body shaming of Chrissy isn't
right. Nice. And the fact that they made her into like the blubbering, like almost dummy of the group and like naive.
I mean,
at least she's not, I feel like the fat quote-unquote character in every movie or show is always like the funny one, like the comedic relief, and at least I don't think that was her in this movie. Yeah, but it's more like she's the butt of the joke.
Yeah, what's exactly better though, fat and funny or fat and whiny?
I mean, fat and funny is better, but like she's certainly the whiny one. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't love all the fat shaming. Mm-mm. With Chrissy.
Have you guys ever been in a group of four friends?
Oh, I love the lessons we're about to receive.
Yes.
I have been in a group of a larger group than four friends.
Oh,
I would say.
Okay. So group of three friends, no good. You can't do a group of three friends. It's a mess. There's always two that are closer than the other one. There's always like one person that feels left out. Group of four is actually an ideal number of friends because you get what you see in this movie. So you get the two and the two. We got Sam and Tini as the closer duo and Roberta and Chrissy as the closer duo. But then like you combine, you still like integrate well as a four. I don't know about groups of fives. I think the odd numbers are always not good, but I don't know. I was in a group of four and it worked out really well. And then the fourth moved away and then I was in a group of three, and that is no bueno. We like groups of
three
fours.
Is tough. My mom wouldn't let us hang out in groups of three because somebody always gets left out.
Yeah.
And usually it's probably me. So thanks, Mom. You were just doing the right thing. Yeah. Trying to protect me.
Mom's a real G. Yeah, I think that five is probably fine because you're less likely to have a person who's left out, but still probably an even number is a little bit easier. I had like a larger group of friends, and obviously there were like pairings off a bit, but I don't think it was as big of a deal.
Who do you think is the better duo, Sam and Tini or Roberta and Chrissy?
Sam and Tini.
Yeah, Sam and Tini 100%, unless we're talking future versions of themselves, in which obviously Chrissy and Roberta are closer.
I feel like in the future, like,
I still think Sam and Tini in the future.
I think that they still, like, you know, talk to each other. Probably,
I
like,
love them swinging on the swing set.
Yeah,
together.
Smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
On the swing set.
Iconic.
Yeah. I think that I do think, like, they definitely, they're not like Roberta and Chrissy where they hang out all the time, but I have a feeling that, like, every once in a while they'll call each other, like, late at night and speak for, like, 5 hours or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Chrissy and Roberta see each other all the time because you have to have, like, monthly, then weekly appointments for your baby.
That's right. If she is indeed her gynecologist.
Yeah, so they probably see each other all the time, at least for doctor's visits. But also, like, you know, Roberta goes
Roberta's
like grocery
probably
shopping
seeing
for
Chrissy's cooch more than she is seeing Chrissy.
Yeah. And then before we wrap things up, I do think we need to each individually rank the four members of the group, because I don't think necessarily we have a consensus. I think we all have Chrissy at the bottom very easily.
Sorry,
and you could
Chrissy.
Do it whichever way you want. If you want to do it like what your childhood, you know, version of this would be, or what you think now. Because I do think maybe mine changes a little bit if I'm looking at it through the lens of myself as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd go Sam, Tini, Roberta, Chrissy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's my ranking.
I've always been Tini, Sam, Roberta, Chrissy.
Interesting. See, I would do Sam, Roberta, Tini, Chrissy, or Roberta, Sam. I think that if I was a kid, I would definitely put Roberta at the top because I was her. Like, yeah. I really was so much like her.
Yeah. I just always loved Tini. Like, I wanted to be an actress when I was a kid. I really do think that, like Clueless, like, a lot of my personality and interests were molded from this movie. Like, I think it's that fundamental in my upbringing. You guys are just, like, getting the full, like, what made Sarah Sarah.
And I love it.
Yeah, it's these movies. It's, like, Clueless, like, Now and
Romy
Then.
Romy and Michelle.
I love Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
So good. Clueless and Romy and Michelle are those movies where if you see it on TV, you have to watch it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Princess Diaries also.
I love Princess Diaries. I read all those books when I was a kid. Yeah. Speaking of like foursomes, I feel like the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is also like a good example of like a foursome of friends working.
I loved Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
So did I. That came out at like a really good time for us. I think we were probably all in our like teens when that.
I've also never seen it. So this seems like an easy part too.
I think that it's definitely better read as a book than mm-hmm. it is experienced as a movie. I thought the movies were fine, but I don't think they do them justice. Like I would say like Princess Diaries, I think the movie is like wonderful and mm-hmm. kind of is exactly like the books, where I think the book you have to do for Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Princess Diaries might be my mom's like number one favorite movie.
Really?
Aww, it was always I love that. On in our house.
Is it because of what's her face?
Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
I think my mom like equally loves Anne Hathaway and Julie Andrews. And also like Sandra Oh is in that movie and she's fantastic. Like literally everybody and their mom is in that movie, but like my mom just is obsessed with Princess Diaries. Yeah. She will call me and call my grandma to tell me that the Princess Diaries is on TV.
I love that. That's fun. Yeah, I got Anne Hathaway as do you remember that thing on Twitter a while back where you like had a mm-hmm. photo and it would tell you who your celebrity parents are? Anne Hathaway was my mother. And I was like, well, generic white woman with brown hair and big facial features. That seems correct.
Yeah, checks out.
I'm like, oh, you also have fairly large eyes? Okay, wonderful. You can be my and I forget, I think it was like Jim Belushi was like my father or something. And I was like, well, I got dad's nose, that's for sure.
No, I don't think I've ever done that. I usually don't upload my picture to those things just because I feel like they always do weird things with your pictures. But nowadays, I've seen a lot of this week of like, you upload your picture and it turns you into like a Disney princess.
I haven't done that yet, but I have seen it.
Well, I feel like what I actually did is I talked to Sean Yanell and he made me into a Disney princess.
So. Oh, there you go. That's even better.
It's another way to do it, and you're supporting a small business. Yes. So why not?
Support creators.
Yes, exactly.
I did get a lot of feedback actually about how Jessica totally ghosted me yesterday about when I asked her if she would go into a drain to save my crappy necklace bracelet, and she disappeared for like a full 20 minutes, did not answer me.
As Deidre can attest to, I was playing Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. I was not readily available.
Okay.
She was leading people in what is apparently called a weasel walk.
Okay, I don't know what this is.
Me neither, but it killed me.
It's basically just like a way of like being sneaky and like being stealthy.
Okay.
But yes, I was playing D&D. I did not answer right away. Mm-hmm. And then after the fact, I did answer. And I said, if I fit, then yes.
But I
would
did
at least attempt the arm maneuver more than Teenie did.
Yeah, yes. I did get.
Jess also ghosted me this morning when she was like, hey, by the way, do you know how to record yourself? And I was like,
and then
like,
I went to the
no.
grocery store and didn't answer for like 15 minutes.
Gosh. Well, not going to form a best friend pack that I will try to enable in 20 years with you, Jessica.
Best friends always say truth and truth or dare, apparently.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, so we'll know get up.
When she accepts the dare.
She don't want to get up. That is 100% me. Oh, just give me the truth. I don't feel like getting up.
I'll tell you anything that you want. I won't. I mean, what's the, you could just lie.
Well, when you're a loser, it's like you don't have many truths to tell. So truth is perfectly fine to pick.
Sometimes when you're a loser, you're afraid of what the truth is getting out.
That's true, I guess.
I think that there's we should no play truth or dare, actually. I think that we should make this a thing.
God.
Or just truth or truth.
Truth or truth.
Truth or truth.
What
which
a choice.
Is also a fun game. Who do did this you like? That's what
who
was.
Who do you like?
Oh, that's the truth or truth. Like. I'm
that's
pretty
the
sure
number
both
one
of you
question.
Are married, so this is a very unfair question for me.
Who do you like? Like that was the thing. It was always like. Oh
do
my
you
god.
Like times?
Who do you think is a major bitch in school? It's like, oh, it's definitely like Chelsea. She's the biggest bitch.
No offense to people named Chelsea.
It's always the Chelseas of the world. Yeah, this movie's amazing. If you haven't watched it, please go watch it. I know it's not available on streaming. It's worth renting. It's amazing.
Actually, like, I don't know if this is like a Comcast exclusive thing, but if anybody knows what Tubi is, T-U-B-I.
Oh, it's on Tubi?
It's on Tubi. So I was able to watch it on Tubi yesterday because Drew didn't want to set up the PS4 for me to watch it on DVD. So
I wanted to watch it on my TV, but Jess Sterling just sent me a Google Drive link.
Jess Sterling has all the creepy links.
I do. I have the ability.
She probably gets them from Crazy Pete.
I watched it on my 11-inch MacBook Air that's like 13 years old, and was like, all right, well, this isn't an ideal watching situation, but if it's not streaming, it's not streaming.
Yeah,
I should have just looked to find out if it was.
It's on the Tubi. Actually, what one last question about Now and Then. Do you blame Crazy Pete for, like, do you think that he murdered his family by not being there when the house caught on fire? Oh, and no, it was a murder. When
it was the murderer came home. He was drinking
at the bar because he was a drunk. Do you blame Crazy Pete?
No.
It's not his fault.
He held on to that for so long.
I understand his guilt, though. Yeah, and I understand him not wanting to be out during the day because I'm sure he lives in a town where it's a small town that this happened in.
Everybody knows his business. Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to see people, and I'm sure they don't want to see me.
Poor Pete. I loved Pete. I loved, too, that, like, after the fact, like, Teeny and Sam were like, let's just leave him alone, guys. Like,
yeah.
Well, he asked them, why are you scared of me? Like, I just felt so bad for him.
Yeah. Poor Pete.
Yeah. Teeny used to send him money every year with a Christmas card.
Yeah. I loved that, too. I thought that was so very sweet of her to do.
So sweet.
Yeah,
it was wild for me, though, when she then was like, oh, yeah, and last year it came back, returned to sender. And then, what was it, Chrissy or Roberta told her, like, oh, well, he passed away. Like, Teeny could have figured that out on her own. Like,
why do you think Teeny's so stupid? Like,
why? Use your two brain cells. Come on, put two and two together.
Teeny knows all. Like, come on. She's like an Emmy winner. Like, let her live.
Yes. So go watch it on Tubi if you haven't. If not, I mean, we appreciate you listening to us regardless of if you've watched the movie.
Do you think I could charge people $20 a month for me to send out my DVD of Now and Then, like some broke ass version of Netflix?
Is that how
Netflix
got started?
Yeah. It's like, hey, God, like I have all these DVDs from when I thought it was a great idea to have a big DVD collection when I was in high school. So
oh my
I do
God,
nothing
Sarah.
With them now.
Sarah, you just reverse engineered Blockbuster.
I was like, I will send you my DVDs of Rat Race and Now and Then. Which actually, Rat Race, fun fact, is my first DVD that I ever owned.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I remember that movie. That movie was wild.
It was my favorite movie. I don't know why.
Oh my God.
I loved Rat Race. All right. You want to, Jessica's like, let's wind this down. We're talking about Rat Race.
So, Deidre, what do you have going on? If you'd like to plug any social medias, feel free. Otherwise, obviously, you can always find Deidre in the Post Show Recaps Discord if you're a patron.
Yeah, find me in the Post Show Recaps Discord. My Twitter is DHLips, but it's really not even worth following me. I don't tweet. I think this is the retweeting the link for the Sarah's post about this podcast coming up was the first tweet that I've had in months. So it's not even worth looking me up. But yeah, no, this was so much fun. And I can't wait to come on again and talk about another movie that I've never seen before.
Yeah, I think it's a fun thing to do. You have to have someone, at least one person who's not seen the movie yet, because you get fresh takes from an older film. So I really loved it.
Yeah. Sarah, it was a great movie, too. Thank you for forcing me to watch it by booking me for a podcast.
Sarah, what else do we have coming up in this wonderful month of June?
We have The Land Before Time with the great Lindsay Wilson coming out later this June. We're really looking forward to talking about that. I have so many thoughts when I watched it. It is wild. We can definitely do more rankings of characters then. I think that's going to be in our future. Aside from that, you never know what's going to pop up. You can find us at Shit90sPod and write to us if you'd like at shit90spod@gmail.com. You can find me on the Club Hizzy still sometimes at Sarah Ferguson. Jessica, you have so much stuff going on.
Yes, as always, you can find me on community building over at Post Show Recaps. Sarah is guesting, so you will hear her voice if you listen to us over there. And actually, funnily enough, Deidre is going to be guesting in the near future.
Ooh. Hey, hey.
So two iconic women on a podcast. We love to see it.
You do.
If you're a fan of community, go give that a listen. It's a really fun time.
If you're not a fan of a community, still give us a listen.
It's still very fun. You'll get to hear most recently about my classifications for children when I don't know their ages.
That was interesting.
Truly, I've gotten more feedback about that than probably anything else I've podcasted about. I thought it was a completely normal thing to say. Certainly wasn't. Go give that a listen. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much, Deidre, for coming on to speak with us about this classic 90s film. We will talk to you all next time. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.